Let me say something about this before I get started. You know, on Sundays now, we're delving into this area on the blessing. And, you know, I taught that before. I taught the blessing of Abraham. And Donald Lawrence wrote his CD on that and so forth and so on. So I went to a certain level. But this time, God is taking us to another level, you know, higher or deeper, whatever. But I really believe we're going to come in to a revelation of how to cancel any debt within 7 days. Any debt. Just expect God to speak to us about that. See, all you need to get is His word on it. And that's it. Okay. All this done here. Okay. Let's read. I'll start reading here at Ephesians chapter 6, and we're talking about facing the giants again. And this is this is Spiritual Warfare, Volume 2, Facing the Giants, Part 18. All right, look what it says here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the what? Wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you, with you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Excuse me. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. All right, let me just make a couple of statements here first. The Christian community is the experience of Christianity is kind of like you see in the Old Testament. You see them coming out of Egypt, which is bondage, slavery, and coming into the wilderness, which is really a time that we rely on the mercy of God. Why? Because we are not grown up yet. And then we go into Canaan. Now, Canaan is a place where, like I was explaining to you, me flying airplanes, and it said that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And I tell you the word finisher has to do with perfecter. So He's a perfecter of our faith. So He's going to take your hand, and He's going to say, follow Me. And He's going to lead you into a place. But the places that you go in Canaan, there's no place in Canaan that you don't have to use your faith. See, if you want the best of God, there's no way you're going to get it without using your faith. You cannot even move forward. I can't grow this ministry. I can't get raise money for to go to Africa. I can't so forth and so on without using faith. So I have to take my faith and apply my faith and believe I've received the money for Africa. And of course, we sow seed from the ministry and believe I've received it and that it comes in through the broadcast and through so forth and so on. Boom, there's the money for Africa. Now we can go to Africa. My point to you is the people kind of say, oh, you know, he's flying around here in a jet or something like that. See, that didn't come because somebody gave it to me. That didn't come because everybody was in favor of it. That came by faith as a tool so I can get out there and get back without the side of the airplane blowing out. See, or without me being locked in some terminal because of some terrorist action. See, I had to make up my mind that I was fed up with sitting in a terminal with stomach bubbling up because I'm trying to figure out now, they just canceled this flight. They're waiting on me with 6,000 people over here to speak. Now, what am I going to do? Come on now. I don't need it. it is worth me believing for my transportation so I can do that. Not a toy, it's a tool. And it's to help me get myself there and back. You know, I'm going to live long on the earth, and anxiety is designed to make you get a short life. All right. And it's my fault if I don't believe for it. If I'm so affected by what people think and I don't want to believe for it, then that's my fault. But I have to believe for that because I know part of my mission as an apostle is I've got to go out. That's part of my mission. Now, if I don't do that, somehow I'm falling into something that's not right. So I've got to believe God for the money and so forth and so on. So I'm just saying, any kind of step we move, don't think we just put things up down the hallway and we have this conference and so forth. Folks, we have to believe we received that budget before the conference ever takes place. We sow a seed for the budget of the conference to be made. Are y'all with me? Every step we make is a step of faith. That is Canaan. Other than that, you rely on the mercy of God. Now let me just show you that. Let's see that. Look at John chapter 5. Just now, and this is, please, I'm encouraging you with this. I'm letting you know that you have the faith to do this. Whatever God called you to, He's already given you the ability to make that happen. Now, I think the biggest problem with us and God is that we don't know what God's part is. When I say that, I mean, we keep trying to do what God's supposed to do, and that'll wear you out. Say amen to that. I remember he's going on to be with the Lord now, Bishop Brazier, who was really laid the foundation in my life. And he said something. He said, here I was fasting. I'd fast 1 week and then nothing happened. So I'd go on another week's fast. I'm talking about water. And nothing happened. And I'd go on another one. Boy, I was down to skin and bones. He said, Bill, come in here. He said, it's by grace and grace alone. Never forget he told me that. Because you can't make God do something. All right? Now, what did I tell you to turn just now? John, okay? All right? So we wrestle not against what? But against who? Principalities. And he hit powers. And he said, the wiles of the devil, which are strategies, okay? All right, look what he says here in verse 1. After that, this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having five porches. Five is the number of grace, all right? And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. So these people are all sick. For an angel went down to a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made what? Whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, when did the angel come down? What did the Bible say? When did the angel come down? Okay, in a certain season. When is a certain season? I don't know. Neither do you. But one day, he just shows up. Am I right about it? And whoever first jumps in gets what? Gets healed. Got it? How about the second one? Is it the right bunch? How about the second person? No. The first person gets healed. So God expresses his mercy. But do you know when the mercy is going to come? No. But if you're operating by faith, do you know when it's going to come? You got what I'm saying? See, the Canaan is faith. David said it. He said, this day, you're going to fall. Talking to the giant. This day. So I'm just saying, faith overrides time. And it tells time what time it is. And time bows. That's Canaan, but that's the best of God. That's when you operate in the best. The other is of God, but it's the mercy of God. And thank God for his mercy, because if it wasn't for his mercy, a lot of folk wouldn't be here. but you don't know when that mercy may show up. Boy, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. And you got beat up and like, you know what I mean? Well, thank God for that. But I want to jump into some faith here. And it's by grace. Glory to God. By God's ability. So I just wanted to show you that because I think that some people sometimes understanding that, we're in Canaan. No. You get in Canaan when you start using your faith. And all these are precious promises. And the way you're going to get them is you're going to have to fight for them. I'll say it again. The way you get them, you're going to have to fight for them. In each one of those. All right? All right, let me give you another thing that that the Lord shared with me. God heals you. All right. Now, let's go back to this. In the beginning, God created everything. He created the earth. And then he created, the trees and so forth. And then created man. Man was created last because man was supposed to be basically ruler over all the earth. All right? But Adam sinned, Adam and Eve, and now they lost that rulership position. And the Bible says then the earth was cursed. God didn't say man. It said the earth was cursed. What happened to man, as I told you, is that the blessing in him turned to a curse. Okay? And now he's operating under the curse. I mean, when I said he wasn't cursed, I mean, iniquity was found in him. He changed natures. And that's what happened to him. And so now man's supposed to live, because the Bible talks about, okay, let's read Noah, for example. And Noah was 600 years old. How old? 600. 600. And look at how old it said Methuselah was. Anybody remember how old Methuselah was? He was old as Lou Gehrig, huh? Now, how old was Methuselah? He was 900 and some odd years old. Now, wait a minute. They have the same body you do. Have you figured that out? They had the same, it's made from the same dignified dirt your body is made from. Now, how are they able to live that long? Because God put a limit on how long man could live. See? After that, he put a limit on it. But you, as you are living that long, God didn't intend for you to live long and weak. He meant for you to live long, come on, and strong. Now let's look at that. Let's go over to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 33. You come to learn something tonight? All right. All right, look at the 33 in verse 48. Let's start there. 33 and 48, I must have the wrong thing. No, 32 and 48. Okay? All right, in 32 and 48. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, get thee up to Mount Abram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold, the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. Okay? And die in the mount, whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy peoples. Let's stop right there. So I want you to go up there, and I want you to die. Well, God told you that. I mean, that's a pretty hard word. Praise God. All right, look at Deuteronomy chapter 34. Come on. Don't lose it. We're still here. It's okay. God is merciful. He's good to you. Look what it said in Deuteronomy chapter 34. Look at verse 7. Okay? This is the condition of Moses when he told him to go die. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye, come on, help me, was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Y'all with me? Now, you know what eye not dim is, don't you? Okay, now I'll let you figure out what natural forces are not abated. I'm gonna let you work with that. I'm gonna let you do a little Bible study on that. Are you with me here? Now, my point to you is that this Bible really is a thing that you've got to use to renew your mind. Because the devil's job is to take you out, especially without your stuff. Now, stuff, I talked about it on Sunday, could mean your inheritance in terms of your material substance, or it could be your health. It could be your strength. Say amen to that. Watch it. It could be your honor. So Satan tries to shoot thoughts in your mind. 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 10. And try to get us to not, or make some excuse for not partaking of our inheritance. Verse 3, for we, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal, but mighty through who? God, to the pulling down of what? Strongholds, casting down what? Imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity what? Every thought, see, to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, bringing it in line with the way God thinks. Remember he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts? Isaiah 55 and verse 7-8, and my ways not your way. Now, let's look at the picture of that, and let's look at, oh, it's a lot of places we can look. Let's just go back to John chapter 5, please, and just look at that again. John chapter 5. Now, I don't know whether you know what happens, and I'm sure we got physicians here, but when you hurt yourself, your body is so well made until it shifts from that part of your body that got hurt and shift your strength to another part. Now, I want you to see this. See, the hardest thing about getting a person up out of a wheelchair to walk is the image of the wheelchair. See, you got to see that. The image of that chair is in their mind. And Satan's job is to keep it there. See, it's not that the power didn't flow, it's that their mind wouldn't accept it. It's called a stronghold. And they've done a lot of things trying to get that mind renewed, but the problem is not now that she doesn't have the strength to walk. The problem now is she doesn't have the mind to walk. She's been brainwashed, or he's been brainwashed. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm not saying anything bad against them. I'm just saying can't get up out of that. See? Because a subconscious mind is your core belief system. And it's the thing that determines your boundary. Not what's outside. That's why you can have a man carrying an armored, he's an armored car driver, and he gets the money out of the banks, and he's hauling, any one day in New York, he's hauling $2 billion around, he or she. Yet, they can't pay their rent. That's why you can get people, and certainly not talking about any private, people in other countries, say in Africa, and they're sitting on the wealthiest earth in the earth. But poor, some of them as dirt. Why? Because the subconscious mind inside is what separates you from the promise. It's not outside. See, people who don't know this tend to blame the man. The scripture says, if God be for you, no man can stand against. Didn't the scripture say that? So I'm just saying, when it comes time to healing, or come time to healing your marriage, or come time to healing this and so forth and so on, then we got to deal with this right up here. When I say that, I mean the subconscious mind. We got to deal with our core belief system, because somehow it got affected. So what affects your belief? One, your experience. If you had a bad experience with something, accident or something like that, then there is an experience in there. That's one thing that affects you. You'll find that each time somebody gets to this certain intersection again, the brakes are going to be automatically applied. You're not going to even consciously think about it. Your core belief system is going to apply the brakes. Next one. Environments. This is where I was brought up. This is where I was brought up. We don't know these people here, this race of people. I don't know if I trust them or not, because I wasn't brought up with them. I know. See? And it separates us. And it's 24/7 operating. It's not like it's operating at a certain time. It's operating 24/7. But it's set up like that because when you sleep at night, you got to make sure you're still breathing. So it can keep you breathing. Amen. While you're almost unconscious. Because it's taking over. Is this making sense to you? Sure. So people have certain environments that they came up. Mama didn't have no money. Grandmama was broke. Granddaddy was on welfare. So forth, you know. Or come back to the other side. Honey, ain't no man no good. All of them bad. They all dogs. You see, they've been dogged out through a few times. So everybody's a dog now. See? Really? This is inside. So what inside, what does it affect? Your boundary. You can't go any further. Giants got you covered. You can't go any further. And it's not the giants. It's what you believe. So you got experiences. And then you got the environments. Okay? Now, environments that you're brought up in. You can take a person and you can take them from one environment to another. But they'll take the same habits. If no renewing of the mind takes place, it takes the same habits right on over there. Another one, repetition. Doing it over and over again. Over and over again. And you'll find you do it over and over again, and then it's like a ditch you just fell into, and it's hard to get out of it. And then the last one, authority figures. Authority figures. Now, the authority figures, say people who I respect. See? And you know, God told me he had an uncle to tell him. He said, man, he said, I've been just having problems with my marriage. He said, man, this is the secret. Treat them all like they're crazy. and then you'll get along. You'll get along fine. You follow what I'm saying? So the authority figure spoke in that person's life. And that's why school teachers are so important. And some of them are the least paid. That's right. And they're the most important. You should try to get the best teachers you can, best, and pay those teachers. Why? Because they're putting in those kids at that age that they're setting up the core system right there. They're putting right in those kids. How we doing? We doing okay? So I'm just saying now that the enemy is behind trying to make sure that our minds are a certain way so that it would keep us from possessing what he's sitting on. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about just sitting on your building. I'm talking about sitting on your healing. Okay? So, God says, by his stripes, what? You are healed. Now, I've got to take that word, which is a sword of the Spirit. Say amen. Amen. And I've got to decree and declare it, what God said. Yes, now, it's doing two things. One, it's releasing the faith which takes hold of the power of God to actually transform that area. And it's renewing your mind at the same time. One man said, all sickness is spiritual. And when you declare the word, Jesus said, is spirit. And when you declare the word, it'll cut the sickness in the spirit. So that the part that you can feel will dry up. Everything converts to what you can see. It converts to an image. In other words, if you touch something, I mean, if I say something, I said dog, you know, right away, believe what you believe, but your mind goes to a dog. And if you've got an experience with a dog, then you think about your dog. You think about, you know, and I said, no, I wasn't talking about that little dog. I'm talking about a big dog. Yeah, I'm talking about a big, mean, ugly dog. I'm talking, you know what I mean? And I get more specific. Notice what's happening. Your picture gets clearer. Yes. See, everything converts to that. What you smell converts to that. Everything so forth. Because you deal with images. So that image in there detects, one, first, your boundary. How far are you going to go? So look what he says here. He says over in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. I'm going to let you go. I'm just finish this up. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, come on, are the issues of life. Now, what it says is out of that are the boundaries of your life. I'm not sure why those screens, maybe you can check on that. Those screens are, sometimes they're on, sometimes they flick, you know. I can tell it's some kind of technological thing, so after that. Okay, but anyway, so I got to guard my heart, because in here is my subconscious, is my core, and my core is working 24/7 to keep me in line with what I believe. And what I believe may not be true. So I got to take this word of God, and I've got to what? Transform what I believe. Be not conformed, it's Romans chapter 12, verse 2, to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what I'm telling you is that's not the devil. He don't have that much power. What he's playing on is your ignorance. And he knows what he put in there. He knows the experience that he gave you and how people react to that experience. And he's trusting in that experience to set down in your subconscious so you'll never want to go swimming again. And what you need to do is face your fears. because fear stands for false evidence appearing real. It is not. You got to face that thing. Now, so what does meditation do? Meditation is designed to transform your belief in an accelerated manner. How does it do it? It creates an experience by itself. And that new experience displaces the old one. So now you have a new core belief. I believe that men are great. I believe that women are good. I believe that I can be a millionaire. See, because the only reason, I'm telling you, if God wants to prosper you, and then if you read the word prosper, if you know, or read the fact that wealth and riches shall be in your house, some people think, well, it's about $20,000. Well, $20,000. Man, you can go through $20,000. I can go through $20,000 tomorrow morning. You read some of Solomon, and you read some of David, and you read some of Abraham. Come on, get your perspective of what wealth really is. Because other than that, the devil has planted a seed in there, so you won't go further than 20,000. And he wants you to help put up churches. And the only thing that separates you from it now is what you believe. All right, let's go to one last place. Let's go to John chapter 20. Are you with me?
Yes.
I'm just saying, you know the old expression, Flip Wilson used to use this, that the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. What made you do it is what's written on the inside. How we doing?
Amen.
Folks? Well, let me go up here. How we doing? We doing okay? All right, we just covered this last part. John chapter 20. See, I used to do that. I used to put it on people. The woman you gave me. Yeah, all that. It wasn't that. Do you realize when you believe something, your mind even magnetizes it? That's how powerful you're made. You are made so powerful. Your body is made to heal itself. Itself, folks. That's how powerful it is. You take this bone, you broke a bone, they put it in a cast, and what happens? It heals. Because it's made to heal itself. But I'm telling you what the enemy has dealt with. He's dealt with our thinking. Yes. He's dealt with our thinking. And that's why you keep going on with the same stuff over and over again. Well, God's word promised this. I know his word promises, but you don't believe it. You don't believe it because you've never taken time to take that one scripture and meditate that thing. How long?
Yeah.
Come on, say it again.
Yeah.
It's Joshua chapter 1:8. And that's what I do. These airplanes that happen in this ministry are coming from my inside. That didn't go over well. I know it didn't go over well. Folks, it all comes from your inside. He made it that way because you swallow the seed of the Word of God. Say amen to that. And that seed hits the soil of your spirit and begins to grow up inside. Once it becomes full grown, he'll tell you to do something. And when you do that, you put in the sickle. And when you put in the sickle, it miraculously manifests. That is the way everything works in the kingdom. All right, you ready? Verse 19, and the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and he stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now, why did they get glad? Why did they get glad? Because they saw the Lord. But wait a minute. It says here that when he stood in the midst, he said, peace be unto them. And when he had what? Said he showed them what? His hand and what? His side. All right. Okay, verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. Let's go on down to verse 24. But Thomas, say doubting Thomas. Now, don't call him that when you see him, okay? See, y'all ain't up there with me. Don't call him that when you see him. Just call him Thomas. Call him Tommy. I think he liked Tommy. All right, look at verse 24. But Thomas was... Let me talk over here. But Thomas, okay, Thomas, one of the 12, which is called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hand the print of nails, and put my finger into the print of nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not what? Believe. Now notice what all this is translating into. He's first got to see him, then he's got to put the finger in his hands. Now, it's not the feeling. It's what the feeling transmits to your mind. You follow what I'm saying? See, it transmits a picture. Oh, have mercy. Stay right there. Don't you turn. Put up there on the board, please, Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. Okay. Genesis 13, verse 14. Okay. All right. The Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes, look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Keep going. And for all the land which you what? See, to thee will I give it to thy seed what? Forever. So everything you what? See. But let's see what you see with. Let's go to Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1, please, quickly. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1, let's see what he said to Joshua. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. Watch this. And the Lord said unto Joshua, what? See, I have given into your hand what? Jericho. And the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Let me ask you, had Joshua taken Jericho yet?
No.
Nope. But what was he supposed to do? See. And if you can't see it, what do you see with? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. I'm preaching this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. No, that's all right. Go ahead and say it. Praise God. Spit it out. Hallelujah. Look what he said. Whom the God of this world, come on, has blinded the minds of them which believe not. The only reason you believe not because your mind is blinded. Now, what is it blind with? Not blind with nothing. It's blind with something else that is not true. So that's what you believe. You believe what you see. And you are made that way. Let's prove it. Go back to John chapter 21, please. John chapter 20, verse 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with him. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst, and said what? Peace be unto you. Then said Thomas, reach hither thy finger and put it up, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not what? Faithless, but believing. Next part. And Thomas answered and said unto them, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Now, he's not talking about not seeing nothing. He's talking about not seeing with your eyes. See, you can see with your mind. You can see by revelation knowledge. And you can go through that scripture and meditate it until you see it. And once you see whatever you're going after, whether it's trying to be hired or whether it's trying to be married, whether it's about, I'm telling you, everything in here is for you. And his answer for you is yes and amen, meaning that you don't need to wait till next Tuesday to do this. You can do it right now, and everything in that inheritance will be you. The giants are designed to stand on your land and frustrate you to the point that you back off and say, well, that just wasn't meant for me. It was meant for you. God says, I know the plan that I have for you. And the first thing he gives you is desire. That he'll give you the desire of your heart. And I'm here to tell you, if he gave you that desire, it's because that thing belongs to you. That apartment building is yours. You can be working your job and have 3 apartment buildings and taking all the money at the job and sowing that and living off the apartment. I'm just saying, look at all the things you can do. But Satan doesn't want you to think that way, because he knows everything the heathen have belonged to you. That's all I got. If you remember that, you'll go somewhere. Glory to God in heaven. That's the gospel. Put it up there. Psalm chapter 105, verse 44. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. He gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people. Say amen to that. Now, like I said, you don't just go and get a gun or something and stick somebody up and say, my name is Jimmy, I'll take all your gimme. That is not the way you do that. You transfer it by faith. But you got to believe what the Bible says about what he says is yours. Say amen to that. Your days of struggling, I'm telling you now, we're going this, after the first quarter, I don't expect any struggles up in this ministry. We're going to teach this word to the point you're going to know it's by grace. You're going to say amen. Amen. You remember when they went out in the wilderness? When they went out in the wilderness, watch this. The Bible says in Exodus from chapter 31 to 36, it says that God gave them skills. Amen. See, whatever he wants you to do, he'll give you the grace to do it. Watch this. And they needed money for the building or gold and silver. And they went and gave every day. We went through this in chapter 36. And the Bible says every day they brought back. Till Moses said, hey, don't bring any more. Why? Every time they came, he went back to the tent, woke up the next morning, there was more to give. And I'm telling you, because if God don't pay for it, he doesn't want it. Praise God. He gives you the grace to do whatever you do so you can run this race and finish your course. It's time for demonstration in the house of God. Glory to God. Boy, that's good preaching right there. All right. If somebody's here and you need to have, where are my musicians? I don't have any piano players or anything, y'all all. Ain't no grace on that piano, Doc. You got to. Somebody got to play. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. If you're here, and I just want to let you know right now that I'm glad you are here. Because as I have shown you many times, I came to a meeting, you know,